I want to welcome Agile XRM to the podcast. I've known the people at Agile XRM for the past 12 years. I've seen how their business process management tool can add massive value to complex organizational processes in sectors such as finance and government. If you have complex processes or a need for dialogues on the Power Platform or Dynamics 365, take a look at how this BPM tool can add value. You can find them at agilexrm.com or check out the show notes for more details. Welcome to the Power 365 show, where I interview staff at Microsoft across the Power Platform and Dynamics 365 technology stack. I hope you'll find this podcast educational and inspire you to do more with this great technology. Now, let's get on with the show. Today's guest is from Brussels in Belgium, beautiful country. He's a senior program manager at Microsoft. You can find all his details, whether it be LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube, etc., are all in the show notes for this episode. So check those out. Welcome to the show, Ilya.
Thank you very much, Mark. Happy to be here.
Good to have you on the show. You've been pretty active lately, it seems, out on the various social media channels with your videos and things. What sparked this for you?
Well, you know, you do a lot of work for different customers, mm-hmm. and you have a lot of ideas to solve the problems that they have. But typically, of course, I mean, you can have 1, 2, 3 customers, 5, I don't know, whatever. And a lot of the things that you discuss, a lot of the solutions that you discuss stay somewhere on the table because, you know, they're not adopted for whatever reason, mm-hmm. and they just get lost. So I thought, you know, why do that? Why not just to share that with other people who might, you know, use that for something else? If I come up for a solution for some situation and that solution doesn't work for that particular customer, maybe it will work for someone else. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I started doing. My main focus on what I share is I try to share. I mean, I also share like announcements and things like that, but mm-hmm. mostly I try to think about creative solutions for different situations, different use cases, and yeah, deliver them to the community essentially for the benefit of the community.
I like it.
That's kind of the motivation behind that at least.
It's good. So in this episode, we really want to focus on process mining and what are the tool sets available to us, particularly in relationship to Power Automate. And process mining is one of those areas that actually I don't know a lot about. But what I do know is I'm seeing it mentioned more and more in the business domain. I'm seeing it come up from, you know, our competitors in this space. There's been a lot of talk about it in recent times. So I really would love to unpack that. But before we jump in there, just tell us a bit about life in Belgium, family, what you do when you're not doing Microsoft.
Well, life in Belgium is pretty nice. It's kind of not my place of origin, so to say. I lived in several places in the past, you know, few years. The past, I guess, 20 years. Mm-hmm. I haven't lived in one place for too long. Have a wife and 2 kids. I've been kind of traveling a lot. I think basically until the pandemic, I don't think I ever spent more than like 2 weeks, you know, in one place without traveling anywhere for business or pleasure or whatever else. So life was kind of very, very chaotic in that sense. Although, you know, it was kind of the life that I liked in terms of a lot of travel and a lot of new things and a lot of excitement, things like that. And now it's, since I moved to Belgium, I kind of switched gears very drastically in the sense that I'm mostly working from home. I don't travel that much. And I also enjoy that life now. It's different. And I mean, it's, I guess, in a way new to me. But I really enjoy that kind of life at home. Outside of kind of work, I still like to travel when I do have the time. We used to travel a lot with the kids when they were smaller. I think when my son was 2 years old, by the time he was in like 6 or 7 countries, we used to take him everywhere since he was 6 months old, and my daughter as well when she was born. Now they are kind of older, 5 and 7, so they attend school. Obviously, that's less possible, but we used to travel a lot with them. Now, my wife and I want to travel. We kind of, you know, dump them on one of the grandparents and travel without them, especially if it's kind of longer road trips. I like doing a lot of interests that I kind of one point or another took semi-professionally, like graphic design, which I taught for a few years, mm-hmm. like flying, which I also learned to fly. I mean, I can only fly single engine planes, mm-hmm. but still something I kind of took on. I love building stuff. I kind of trying to get my son into that whole area. I'm trying to get him into, you know, programming and building robots and things like that. going fairly well so far.
Good.
We built a smartwatch together over a few weekends, so that was a nice project. Yeah, so traveling, building stuff, that's kind of the main hobbies I would do outside of work for the most part.
I like it.
Flying whenever I can.
I like it. You've given me some inspiration. I've got a 18-month-old and a soon-to-be-born newborn arriving in the next 6 weeks, and we're planning within the year to go to Italy and Greece, which is for us now, because we live in New Zealand at the bottom of the world. It's a major trip. And hearing that you've taken your kids on so many trips like this fills me with confidence that I'll be able to do the same thing. And yeah.
I mean, that's a great thing. I mean, for them as well. I think even at a fairly small age, they were quite excited about it, excited about, you know, traveling on planes and trains and whatever else.
Mm-mm.
And being in different places. I mean, that's a great experience, I think.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so tell me about process mining. What is it, and why are companies investing a lot of time, resource, et cetera, into process mining these days?
Well, I think that these days companies are not yet investing a lot of time into process mining. I wouldn't say that it's a new area, but it's something that is still doesn't have as much exposure as, let's say, other things in business applications, as you know, like Power Automate or Power Apps, mm-hmm. or you know, no code, low code, things like that. So it's still kind of a fairly new space.
Yeah.
But if we talk about what that is, right? I guess that makes sense to start from saying in what case you can use it and what for. So if you are an organization, you probably have some kind of processes that you work by. I don't know. You do case management, you do invoice management, you do efficient manufacturing, whatever else. You probably have some set of processes that you work by. And in some of those processes, you typically do have KPIs or SLAs to track the efficiency and the performance within that business process. But in others, often you don't. As a very, very common example, if you can look at the case management, especially in call centers, it is very important to have a certain, you know, length for a call for some organization, or SLA to cover a certain case for support cases, and so on. So there's a lot of more work being done on supporting the efficiency of those kind of processes than others. On the other hand, if you look, for example, at, I don't know, invoice processing, there's not a lot of organizations that actively invest time in developing reporting and analytics and KPIs to understand how efficiently our, I don't know, accounting department processes invoices. You know, it takes time, and okay, that's fine. So process mining is a way to enable monitoring of efficiency for really any process without investing that time and money into developing new analytics, new KPIs, new SLAs, and so on. So it's a way to understand the efficiency of a process, or really any process, based on the data that is produced by that process.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So within each process, you have at least four main elements. You have the process itself. Let's say, I don't know, invoice processing, right? Within that process, you have invoices. So you have invoice 1, 2, 3, and 4, and so on. And within each invoice, you have events or actions that are done by different people, right? Let's say John accepts the invoice, and then Fred passes the invoice to a different department for approval, and then someone else approves that invoice, and so on and so on. So every such event is tied into a specific invoice, so an invoice ID,
mm-hmm.
and every such event has a timestamp, so when that happened. You can have either one timestamp, or so when that happened, or even two timestamps, so the start date and the end date of the activity or the action. Depends on what kind of system you work with and how it records your activities in that system. But any system, doesn't matter what it is, if it's Dynamics, SAP, Salesforce, even some kind of a custom-made system, probably has those three data points.
Mm-hmm.
And the nice thing is that process mining, specifically the implementation by Microsoft, which is called Process Advisor, can take this data, those four basic data points, and build a flow diagram, which will show you the efficiency of the process overall across multiple iterations. So you can have a look over how your entire company works like, and then filter down by departments, by specific people, by specific processes, by specific invoices. Whatever kind of slicing you want to do, you can if you have the data to do that kind of slicing, right? So that's what process mining essentially does. It uses AI to make the understanding of the efficiency of your processes easier, and really, I would say, minimal investment. I showed a few examples, for example, how it's done on my YouTube channel. And awesome. You can literally set up process mining in like, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes with sample data to understand, for example, how an invoice processing process works and is it efficient? And if it's not efficient, then how to find the inefficiency, right? So it's really that simple. And actually, I've been doing some work recently to take it even beyond that usage for processes, in using process mining to understand the usage patterns of apps. So let's say you build an app, a mobile app, or power app, whatever else. And I've built a solution which is fairly simple, but it relies on process mining to understand the usage patterns and the general kind of usage statistics of your app. So let's say you built an app which has, I don't know, five different screens, and you add a new functionality in a new screen number six. So how would you, as a developer, know if someone is using that functionality or not? If someone is going to that screen or not? You can ask them, right? You can ask. You can, you know, send out a survey or ask people directly, and then you will get a response from 1, 2, 10, 50 people. I don't know, but you don't really know for sure, and especially you don't know across all users. But with that approach, if you collect this data and you input that into the process mining engine, you can know for sure. So you would actually get a diagram that will show you how all users in general use the app and if they use the functionality or not. And if they use it, then how much time they spend on it. And in what cases, like from what screen would you go to get that new functionality in order to use it, and how much time you would spend on that.
Wow, that's incredible. You know, I'm involved in a lot of situations where enterprises are implementing the Power Platform, right? Multiple app developers and things like that. And I could see this would be such a useful tool to see that the app was being used as intended or needs improvement.
Exactly. I've built a very fairly simple solution that demonstrates how that works. So there's a demo app. I'm writing the usage statistics to Dataverse currently. There is the process mining model itself. And there is a model-driven app that allows you to kind of view and edit the app traces, you know, just for additional analysis if you wanted to. And I'm actually preparing to release a video on that on YouTube probably tomorrow.
Awesome.
Well, that you can watch and see how that works. And also, obviously, the solution will be available on GitHub for everyone to leverage if they want to.
I like it. Send me the link so we can get that in the show notes.
Yeah.
When we look at where the product surfaces for Microsoft, if people want to go out and start using this, where do they typically find it in the ecosystem, the ability to carry out process mining?
Right. So right now it's part of Power Automate. So we have in Power Automate, we have something called Process Advisor.
Yes.
And in Process Advisor, you have two options. You have to do process mining based on recordings, essentially just looks like at a video of how people use a certain process or app, whatever else, and gives you insight. Or there's the new option, which allows you to do the same, but based on data. And that's kind of the point I was talking about earlier.
So
that's kind of the real, I would say, process mining at a large scale, right? If you want to look not just at the usage pattern of a specific person or persons, but en masse across your organization, across all the users, let's say. And that's really the way to do it, I guess, in most enterprise scenarios and for most processes. So that's the way that you get to it. Configuring that is fairly easy. For example, if you ever built any kind of Power Report BI or really, for example, imported data from in Excel, let's say from an Excel data source, you would have this kind of UI to select the data source, and then you can configure the queries, so configure the columns that you want to use, filter out the data that you want to use, and essentially that's it. So if you have the skills to use Excel, then you probably have the skills to use process mining, which I think is probably the biggest difference from how kind of we do it at Microsoft in Power Platform.
Yeah, yeah.
And how it's done across other solutions where, look, I'm not new in the kind of IT field, right? I've been around the block for a while. But looking, for example, at some other solutions, I don't know if you have to be a data scientist in order to understand them, but it probably wouldn't hurt. In Power Platform, the nice thing about it is that we are following this low-code, no-code philosophy. And process mining is built on that philosophy as well, essentially. So you don't have to be the data scientist in order to build that. You might want to have some more advanced skills. For example, like if you know how to build a more complex Power BI report, that skill would definitely help you to also build perhaps a more complex process mining model, just, you know, to be able to filter out the data that you need in a more efficient way. But other than that, if you just want to take all the results from a process and analyze that, that really mm-hmm. takes very little effort. And as I said, you can literally set it up in 10, 15 minutes if you want to.
So is a lot of the visualization happening in Power BI? You've mentioned Power BI a few times. And mm-hmm. when I've looked online, I see companies offer process mining tools. And one yeah. of their claim to fame is that it's all visualized in Power BI, being it's, you know, the number one analytics type platform now that organizations are using. So is it tightly linked to Power BI and how you would use Process Advisor?
Yeah, so I mean, the result that you get essentially looks like Power BI dashboard. Mm-hmm. you get the process flow where you can see how different events are connected to each other. You have a dashboard that shows you the different variants of a process. So in how many different ways can one process be achieved based on the data? Mm-hmm. You have information about timings, so how much time it took to, in average, to go through each case, let's say, or each invoice mm-hmm. In July or in August or whatever else. You have the ability to drill down to look into, let's say, specific users or specific departments or and drill down based on the additional information that you have in the data that you have imported. Mm-hmm. You have a time analysis, which allows you to see how much time each action or each event takes on average, and be able to kind of get additional insights based on that. So let's say you can look at the time analysis and understand that you have one step in your process which takes way longer than every other step. Mm-hmm. And you can, I think, you know, either it's normal and this is what you expect, or it's not normal. And that mm-hmm. can be something that happens only in some of the cases, or, for example, only some departments, or only for some people for some reason, you know? So you can really drill down and understand where this anomaly comes from and be able to handle that. And when you re-upload the data again, let's say next month or next quarter or however you want to set up that cadence, you can compare if the changes that you made to the process have actually affected the efficiency of the process overall, or the efficiency of the process where you wanted to improve it for specific events, let's say, or specific departments, or even specific people that work mm-hmm. on your process.
If you're looking for a structured way to enhance your career in Dynamics 365 and the Power Platform, this is for you. Enrollment for the 90-Day Mentoring Challenge April to June cohort are now open. I discovered MSCRM in 2003 and it changed the course of my life. My career in Dynamics 365 and the Power Platform has taken me all over the world, and the opportunities for people to build a career in the space today are better than ever. The 90-Day Mentoring Challenge will help you chart a path to capitalize on these opportunities and build the skills for greatness. Find out more at ako.nz365guy.com. For the first time, I'm limiting space on this cohort for a more intimate experience. So if you want to be part of it, don't wait. Enrollment will close on the 25th of March. Podcast listeners can use the code PODCAST for a 10% discount at checkout.
So you know, what jumps to mind for me is that this would allow organizations to potentially find the bottlenecks that are happening inside their organization. Mm-hmm. Does it make those bottlenecks really clear, that the difference between what's an anomaly and then it's always, you know, this is always in whatever the process is, this is the point, for whatever reason and the way the process is designed, everything slows down. And if we could fix this part of the process, perhaps we could, you know, create efficiencies. That generally, whenever efficiencies are created, it means, you know, cost savings. You're taking cost out of a business. Is that, you know, one of the chief aims of process mining?
I would say so. So, I mean, it depends on your goal. So we have mm-hmm. discussed two, I would say, very different cases. One, when you use process mining to understand the efficiency of business processes, and mm-hmm. the other one, when you use process mining to understand the usage patterns of an app. So in the first case, yes, for the most part, you would try to understand if there are bottlenecks in your process, case management, mm-hmm. Invoice management, whatever else.
Yes, yes.
And you would try to understand where those bottlenecks come from. So mm-hmm. do they come from, let's say, maybe there is some kind of an event that happens and it takes long, but only for some reason takes long in July. Okay. Mm. What's up with that? You can drill down and understand why it happens only in July. Or maybe it happens only in a specific department. Why it happens only there? For example, it only happens in your branch in Amsterdam, but does not happen in your branch in Dublin. Why is that?
Yeah.
Do they have a different process? Or they just work in a way that is maybe less efficient for whatever reason, right? So you can really use that to identify those kind of bottlenecks.
So, you know, with very large organizations, process has been built over years, right? As in, and it seems that sometimes in the larger organizations, the process has become more, I wouldn't say complex, but I would say more, there's checks and balances and stuff put in play because of maybe technology limitations at the time that the process was developed. But for whatever reason, now you have a process that potentially takes a month to do. There's no reason why it should be done in hours. But the actual, if you, you know, hit play at the start and hit approval at the end or completion, or we can move forward, there can be a month time frame. And when you look at the moving parts, which often can span multiple systems, and this is my concern here, is what do you do when, you know, for example, one of the key next steps in a process is uploading a file to somewhere or sending an email for confirmation or, you know, getting five people to approve it. How do you, you know, is this an application for organizations like that? They go, you know what, we're probably wasting millions and millions of dollars a year on our process that was built over a 15-year period, but no one's gone back and said, why are we doing it this way? Why, you know, this in the world and where technology is advanced now, things need to change. We could make massive improvements, save millions of dollars if we addressed it. Is this one of the aims or the goals of process mining, even though in that scenario, I think there'd need to be a lot of people investment in discovering where those bottlenecks were happening and whether they were still needed within the organization?
Yeah, definitely. It can be a way to make processes more transparent for, let's say, management people to really understand how processes work across the organization and across different departments. I've been in consulting for many, many years, and I've been working with organizations in, you know, many, many sizes. And if you work with organizations like at the global scale, like, you know, where they have presence in multiple countries, or even at a national scale, where they have presence in multiple large cities, then you would often come across situations where you come to a new branch to understand, you know, how they work in order to help them to automate the process. And they tell you, well, this is how they do it in Amsterdam, but in Dublin, we do it in a different way, okay? And there's often absolutely no reason from a corporate standpoint to do it in a different way. It's just that, you know, culture or whatever else, they just decided that they do it differently for whatever historic reason. And those kind of subtleties can make a big difference in terms of how people work, but they are not visible to people who are kind of at the level, at the national level or at the global level, managing the organization. And it's not information that, well, obviously will come voluntarily from the local subs, but it is information that can be understood from the data that they produce. Because data that they produce is, well, it's there, it's available for, you know, for everyone in the organization. And if you take this data and you understand how the processes actually work, you can really compare how the same process work across the multiple branches or multiple countries or, you know, multiple different cities. And if the process really does work different, then you need to ask the question, why? Is there really good reason for that? Is that, you know, maybe there's some kind of compliance. Let's say if it's a global organization, there's some kind of compliance in Switzerland that doesn't exist in Germany. That may well as well be the case. And that's why the process in Switzerland takes longer than in Germany. That's perfectly fine. But if it's something that is unexpected, then it's definitely something you can look into and take care of and be able, well, have the, at least have the opportunity to understand that it exists and that you can influence that if you want to.
Yeah.
And that in turn can save a lot of money when you have that level of transparency.
Yeah. So my last question is around AI. How much, you know, can AI feature in particularly Process Advisor in really proactively uncovering those issues and going, hey, you know, somebody needs to actually look at this area because there's a major bottleneck that is happening. As you say, it could be infrequently, it could be frequently, it could be, you know, geographically, et cetera. How much, does AI play in Process Advisor? And then is it extensible?
Well, so at this point, I don't think we are yet at the point where, you know, you get a call from a robot which tells you one department works, not as efficiently as you expect. So we are at the stage where you are presented with insights, and you can make decisions based on those insights. And this is a process that you can initiate whenever you want yourself. Mm. You can take the data from process mining and take it forward to some other system for, you know, additional analysis, to some kind of AI model, which is specific to your business. For additional analysis, that's definitely possible. But I don't think we are yet in the stage where, you know, there's a continuous kind of monitoring for the efficiency of your processes. And then, you know, you get a message in Teams from a bot saying that something went wrong. But if I look kind of into the future, and I would say into the near future, I can imagine that we will be in that situation where that would be possible. So when AI would proactively tell you that something happens in your organization based on the data that you produce. I would say that there is, and there probably will be, some issues regarding, you know, data protection and compliance in order to get there. Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, that would be a bit of a difficult thing to achieve. But technically, I think we are not that far away from this reality.
Ilya, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Mark. Happy to be here.
Hey, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Business Application MVP, Mark Smith, otherwise known as the NZ365 Guy. If there's a guest you'd like to see on the show from Microsoft, please message me on LinkedIn. If you want to be a supporter of the show, please check out buymeacoffee.com/NZ365 Guy. How will you create on the Power Platform today? Ciao. Before you go, a quick reminder that the 90-Day Mentoring Challenge kicks off on the 1st of April. Every cohort, I hear people say that surely this group has been the best one ever. The true magic of the 90-Day Mentoring Challenge is the connections formed between a group of people who are committed to learning with and from each other. Will you be part of the best cohort yet? Use the code PODCAST for 10% off at checkout. Visit ako.nz365guy.com to see a detailed curriculum and hear what past participants have to say about the challenge. I can't wait to help you discover the unique value you bring to the community and just how far you can take your career.